I want to share something with you this morning that I believe God is sharing with us as a church. So welcome to all the people that ran away over the holidays. Johan, you're back after a nice sunny holiday. Chrissy is back. Who was away as well? Oh, you were in the north. Jackie is at the children, eh? She was gone. Lara was gone. Okay, so all of you are rested out. So I don't know why you are so cold this morning. We'll have to really wind you up. Guys, yeah, it's really with great expectation that I want to share something with you that I believe God just wants to stir within our hearts. And I want you to turn to Luke 2, verse 52. And I want to talk about something that might stir your heart this morning. And hopefully we can end off by praying for one another. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I want to talk about God's favor this morning. I want to talk about something that we often forget as Christians because we live in so much fear. We always are concerned about our circumstances and life dictate that we actually are concerned about everything. You know, these days you try to make provision for all risks and try to eliminate everything that can bring about change. So I do realize that when we talk about God's favor, it's something that you can actually not really control. It's something that you need to surrender to. And that is the word that we received from God at intercession this morning as well. It was beautiful. Chrissy even yesterday brought a word that God is this year just share it, the bars.
Just pulling up the gate. To, what was it? The
iron bar. That one. Okay. Sorry, I just shocked you.
This
yeah, no, listen, the fight was fierce this morning, let me tell you. The battle was strong. I just shared yesterday just around one of the services. I can't remember if it was the first Sunday or the second Sunday in December. I'll give you a bit of context to me. I don't know if there's some who don't know me around here. But everything I see is very much in black and white. I very much struggle to see the color of things. And, there's so much color to see. Everything's either right or wrong. It's very black and white. And with that, I also struggle to see people. And I always see people through almost like bars. And that bars is almost, it's rules, regulations, principles, the right, the wrong, the everything like that. And as I was staying there, I just felt the Lord saying that he was actually lifting up, it's almost like those old jail cells. There was a gate that I see people through, and he was actually lifting that up. And as he was doing that, I could actually tangibly hear those old gates, those old rusty gates being lifted up, going as they were being lifted up. And as we were praying yesterday, I just felt God saying that that's not only for me, it's for us as a church, as a congregation, that the Lord is really, he's addressed in the spirit the ability and the gift to see and love people, and how 2019 is going to be a year where we just supernaturally are able to love and receive people this year as we go out into the communities, into the city.
Amen. Yes, so God is speaking to us. I want to get back to favor hopefully bring some light on what we are sharing with you. Favor, finding favor means gaining approval, acceptance, or special benefits or blessings. There's also a close association among favor, grace, and mercy, which we understand is coming from God. So if we have the favor of God upon our lives, we also are under the grace or the mercy of God in which we actually don't deserve, which are sometimes used to translate the same Hebrew-Greek words. The favor that human beings receive from God depends on his good pleasure and is often extended in response to prayer or righteous living. Now, what I'm trusting God for this year is to move from a place of victimhood to authority. The place where we can actually walk in the promises that God has for us, the favor that God is bestowing upon our lives. And I want to talk about Joseph's story, because my question to you this morning would be, was Joseph a successful man? In the eyes of the world, in your eyes even this morning, was he really successful? If we listen to his story, if we read his story, and if we think things through, my question to you would be, did he have the favor of God upon his life? Okay, just say that with me. Did Joseph have the favor of God upon his life? We're going to say it a few times this morning. Because that's the question that I'm asking you this morning, because if I look at Joseph's life, there's a few things that bothers me in seeing the favor of God upon a person's life. Okay, there's difficult circumstances that he went through. While we know that the favor of God is also the golden key to heaven, the golden key to actually experience life and abundance here on earth. The fact that you and I, when we have God's favor upon our lives, we can also get favor among men, that we can actually rule and reign on this earth. And so we want the favor of God. We want to experience God's favor in our lives. Now, I want to get to Joseph's story because it's so beautiful. I know that Safiso last year also spoke about Joseph's story and on another angle, and maybe even on some same angles. But I want to talk about the favor that God bestowed upon his life, and talk about a few things that you maybe did not read in it in the past. Now, Joseph was the son, as we know, of Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons. Now, these sons came from 4 wives, so it was not 12 from one wife. It was 6 from Leah. Now, we know the story of Jacob. Jacob was actually a naughty guy that stole his inheritance from his father Isaac. He stole his inheritance from his brother Esau. And because he was so adamant to get this inheritance, we know that there was a lot of even, you know, stuff that he went through before he was reconciled with his brother. Now, we know that in his life, a few things happened. Jacob, first of all, had to work for this lady called Rachel for 7 years. Now, after 7 years, he received Leah. Because his father-in-law decided that there's another sister to give to him. Then he had to work for another 7 years before he got Rachel. Now, Leah produced 6 sons, to not just the sons, there was daughters as well, but 6 sons to Jacob. And then Rachel really struggled to get sons. Now, she had her own battle of favor with God until a place where she got 2 sons from God. The one was Joseph, and within the sons of Jacob, we also know that he was the Yachid, the chosen one, which was the favorite son, the one that Jacob loved the most. And then we also know about the later addition to the family, and that was the one of Benjamin. Okay, and Benjamin then also caused the death of Rachel. Now, he had also 2 sons with Rachel's slave, and he had 2 sons with Leah's slave. So this is not a perfect picture. A lot of things happened in Jacob's house until now, and I want to bring context, because you cannot understand Joseph's story if you don't understand Jacob's. Remember, Isaac was the promise from God to produce the nations. Okay? So, Abraham had the son Isaac. Now, we must just reverse a little bit. Abraham had the son Isaac, which he put on the altar, and God gave him back to him. And he said, listen, this will be the promise to the nations, or the nation that I will be giving you, that will be as much as the sand on the seashore. Okay, so you've got Isaac now. Isaac has 2 sons, Jacob and Esau, or Esau being the eldest, just by a little bit, because they were twins. And then we know that this guy called Jacob stole the inheritance of the firstborn right, and then he had 12 sons. So this is where we are at this stage. Also, we know that these sons of Jacob, even though they represented the 12 tribes of Israel, was not always sweet boys, angels. There's lots of stories that you must actually go and read. Go and read from chapter 30 of Genesis all the way through to 40 and even 41. You'll read that these sons of Jacob did a lot of wrong things as well. There was a case where Benjamin, for instance, or not Benjamin, Reuben, the eldest son, actually slept with his father's concubine. What a story. That you would take as a son, the eldest son, take your father's concubine, and you would sleep with her. Then you have the story of the sons that went against the Hivites. And this is an important one, because now there was a daughter of Leah that was raped. And then the sons decided, listen, we're going to sort this thing out ourselves. Okay? They said, but listen, this guy called Shechem, which raped their sister, which wanted to take responsibility for it, and he said, listen, I would marry her, and I will make sure to look after her for the rest of my life. Then the family said, no, listen, all of us as sons are not pleased with this, because this is an uncircumcised person that wants to marry our sister. So then they said, listen, you must circumcise your family. So Shechem went back to the Hivites and he said to them at the gates of the city, listen, can we as a tribe all be circumcised for the sake of Shechem becoming part of Jacob's family? Now all of them were circumcised, and as you know, circumcision is not a very nice act for men, especially. And they then, through their hardship, were killed by the sons of Jacob. They went into the city and they killed all the males of the Hivites to revenge for their sister. Now, these are the sons of Jacob that we are talking about, the sons that forms the tribes of Israel. These sons were not perfect men. They were also not perfect against Joseph, because Joseph had this unfair advantage over his brothers, because his father put him in an awkward position. His father clearly favored him above all of the sons. Now, this caused problems to him, but also it caused him to be very arrogant. Now, we know the story. After this, Joseph, because of his brother's envy toward him, had to be sold after being put in a pit. And he had to be sold to the slaves coming all the ways from Midian. And they went to Egypt to go and sell him. And then he became a slave. Now, before we get there, I want to read quickly chapter 35, verse 5. God's blessing over Jacob's family. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them. This is now after Jacob's family. Jacob then decided, listen, my sons did a terrible deed. It's putting me in a position where the tribes in this area is actually going to kill us. They're going to make sure that we don't exist anymore. Because you can't come against a tribe like the Hivites and kill all the males and get away with it. So Jacob packed up and he was moving. But look at God's hand upon them. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them, so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. God's hand upon them. Listen to verse 9. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. And God said to him, I'm God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abram and Isaac I will give to you, and I will give you the land to your offspring after you. Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering onto it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him, Bethel, the place of promise, the place where God spoke to him. Now, beautiful picture, a promise to Jacob and his family. And now we see that the Yachid, the promised one, gets into slavery and being sold to Egypt. But something beautiful happened out of this. Genesis 29 verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. Verse 3. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. From the time that he made him oversee in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Jacob, or for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. Genesis 39 verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Can you see the pattern of favor following Joseph in his life? Verse 23. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to succeed. Okay. Was Joseph successful? Did Joseph have the anointing of God upon his life? There's a few things that happened to Joseph that I want to remind you of again. Joseph, because of the favor of his dad, went through a lot of hardship with his brothers. Sullen into slavery, had to make a few decisions entering into Egypt. This is a land, and we often think that it was an easy go for Joseph, but I can tell you, this is a time where he makes a few decisions. Should I serve the God of my father? Remember, being favored does not mean that Joseph at this stage of his life has made a decision to follow the God of his father. He had all reason to be offended because of what happened to him through his brothers. Remember, even the beloved brother Benjamin was part of the plot. The eldest brother Reuben was ruthless. And yet he sits here in a new country in slavery, and he makes a decision not to be offended, to follow God and to serve the God of his fathers and to serve the purposes that this God instilled in his life. Now, this was a promise made to him through a dream, and all of us know the dream that God spoke into his heart. But this dream was something that he had to believe in for as long as he was in Egypt. Remember, there was cultural differences. Now again, he's in a country where he had to be making decisions around other gods being worshipped. And this is the place where I want to ask you, how did Joseph get it right to, through all of these years, not be offended and keep to the promise that God had for his life? Because anything and everything that he did was always to readjust his thinking to get back to God's promise. Are you awake this morning? To realign himself to the place where, what did God say? What is God's plan for my life? And how do I follow the favor of God upon my life? My question to you this morning is, as we enter into a year like this, as we go about doing God's business, do you experience the favor of God upon your life to such an extent where hardship and circumstances is difficult, but you still experience His favor? Can you this morning be at a place where you say, I am favored by God? And if so, we must be honest about the fact that prosperity does not always look the way that we want it to look. With responsibility goes favor. Now it says that Mary was favored by God, and so an angel appeared to her and told her the news that she will carry the promise of Jesus to the world. And then it says something beautiful. It says, as she was favored, she pondered God's favor in her life. Why did she ponder that moment? Because if you look at Mary's life, and if you look at the legacy that followed or that came before her, there was this promise of a Savior that will come to the world. And the first thing that you will ask if the angel appeared to you is, will I be able to raise up the King of all kings? Will I be able to do this right? I'm just Mary, not even married. Am I the one who will be able to raise this son that will save the world from all condemnation? And yet, within that, she ponders the responsibility so that she will be able to fulfill God's promise in her life. Now, I want to just say this morning, with favor comes responsibility. And for David, it means running from cave to cave. For David, it means that for years before you become the king that God promised you to be, it means that you will have to literally run for your life and make sure that you survive until that happens. Just say it with me. Is Joseph in favor? Favor of God looks a lot different than we want to expect it to look like in this world. Are you the favorable one? Are you the one that God favors? Then I want to tell you, there's lots of stories that I can throw before you, because Joseph was under hardship and a lot of trouble to get to the end destination. Jacob had to work 7 times 2. It didn't come easy to fulfill God's promises. There was a promise for Jacob. Jacob, you will have inheritance and you will have the 12 that will be the tribes. But this is going to come with hardship. But Jacob, are you willing to walk this road? Rachel didn't have favor with God, and she begged to God to give her favor until she got to get 2 sons. And she died by the second son, called Benjamin, while giving birth to him. We see so many stories. Ruth, that wanted the favor of God by following a mother-in-law, rather than to stay in the country of her birth and be truthful to her own legacy and traditions. She said, no, I'm going to go with Naomi because I know the favor of God goes with this woman. I can't leave her because I know that if I want to fulfill God's destiny for my life, if I want to have His favor upon my life, I must follow her, even though this is the more difficult route. And then pick up the little seeds in the land of Boaz, until she finds favor in the sight of Boaz. And still, I'm so blessed if I read that Boaz was the father of whosoever, and that person became the father of Jesse, the father of David, the king of Israel. You know what? God's plan is much greater and more wonderful than we can ever imagine, but that does not make it easier for us to follow God's favor upon our lives. And I want to say to you this morning that what others can't gather in a lifetime, God can give you in one day. But guess what will happen when God's favor is bestowed upon your life? People will start to envy and oppose you for the favor upon your life. So with this wonderful responsibility that favor brings, I can tell you opposition will come. It will not be an easy thing to follow the responsibility of favor upon your life, because opposition will come. Listen to this. You can't do anything about it. Nothing you can do will change their minds or the opposition that comes against you. You must maybe stop praying that they like you and start praying to do God's will. Because many times we are so aware of people's opposition in our lives and the things that the circumstances that gets against us that we forget that being in favor with God means that you and I must be in total surrender to His will for our lives. Satan wants to break you in the pit and jail before you get to the throne. Favor is born in the womb of obedience. So Joseph had to make a conscious choice to be obedient to God's will in his life, even if that meant taking food to those who plot against him. God didn't talk to Abram for 12 years after giving him the assignment. We can't even wait a week for God to speak to us. Are you with me this morning? We are so impatient in the society that we are in today. We can't even wait for 1 week so that God can give us a glimpse, just something to go by. And yet the men of God, the people that had the favor of God upon their lives, were willing to wait for 12 years until God executed whatever He promised to them. Listen to this one. Noah had to wait 120 years giving the message of repentance and saying, guys, if you don't repent, something terrible is going to happen. Prepare for the day when God will bring His judgment. For 120 years before the judgment came. There's certain things that we as modern Christians don't understand and don't want to get our heads around, because it's much easier just to enforce our own will and our own decisions and our own impatience in our circumstances, so that at least we feel we've accomplished. And yet, favor brings responsibility. A place where you and I need to be patiently surrendering to God's promise for our lives. The favor of God is found in doing His will. Jesus said, I've finished the work you've asked me to do. The beautiful thing about it is that Jesus was so aware of what God the Father wanted him to do. There was a job that he received from God, and he was willing to fulfill that very same job until it's completed. Now, you would say to me this morning, so why not have the favor of God upon our lives? Why do we struggle to sometimes, receive the favor of God upon our lives? And I want to talk about five things to end off with. But I want to say to you, with that responsibility of receiving the favor of God upon your life, it means that you and I will pay a price. And there's a decision to be made. We spoke about it yesterday, me and Chrissy. And I said, I remember working in the banking industry. And just when it got to a place where I got promoted and God had some promises for the career, I said to God, "Oh God, this thing can work for me. Nice money, you know, nice established in the workplace. I don't think ministry is for me anymore. I think this is my ministry, God. I can really see myself, you know, doing great things in the business industry." Then God said to me, "It's time to pack up and get into ministry." I want to say to you, in the midst of God's favor, decisions need to be made. In the midst of God's favor, difficult decisions need to be made. And having the favor of God upon our lives brings us to a place where things will not be the same anymore. For Matthew the tax collector, it means packing up your cash box and never do it again. And I'm not saying today follow the ministry. That's not what I'm saying. What I do say to you is all of us should be in the ministry in whatever we do. My question is to you this morning, if you want the favor of God upon your life, are you willing to be obedient? Are you willing to, when He says to you, do this or do that, are you willing to back it up with obedience? Because I can tell you that the presence of God and the favor of God in your life gets birth in the womb of obedience. The place where you and I need to do whatever God says we must do. And some of us must maybe just go back to what God has said a few years ago. Because you're asking me, why is God not speaking to you? I can tell you, for many cases, and I'm not saying all cases, I always trace it back and ask, when last did God speak to you? And what did God say to you? Because if you want the favor of God upon your life, guess what? You need to get back to be obedient to Him. And that's going to cost you. This is going to bring you to a dire strait situation where you will have to make very conscious decisions about your life and where it's heading. And yes, you can say to me this morning, "Yeah, I'm in London, and you know, we've got a very difficult," and we actually spoke about it yesterday at the board meeting as well. You know, we can say, "We're so busy in the environment that we are in, it's really difficult to find God within all of this," and I can tell you, that is nonsense. Not because I don't have respect for it. My life is also very complicated here in the city. A lot more difficult than it's even outside of the city. But what I can tell you, we are here as a generation to find the solutions for the problems that God brings in this generation. Because for Joseph, Joseph stopped the boat and he says, "Listen, can I tell you the story of my life? I serve a God that is the only one that can tell you whatever that dream is, because He's the one of interpretation." Genesis 40. And he says, "Listen, my God cannot just make sure that you know what that dream is all about. My God knows circumstances and He dictates whatever happens. And He decides who will be favored and who not. So if you want to have a solution for the dream that you've received, come and speak to me. Because I'm God's conduit. I'm the one that can actually bring you the truth because I speak to this God. I know that when He brings dreams, He also brings interpretations. Because He's the God that is in control." And then when Joseph says this, sitting in jail, God opens a whole new book for him. Because within 3 days, the dream comes to fulfillment. But do you know that he's still for 2 years in that same jail before they come and take him out to bring justice to the land? For 2 years, this means that for 13 years, he was either a slave, in prison, or in the pit for 13 years. And then after 13 years, God brings him out of jail. And God allows him to start to rule and reign the destiny and the purpose that he had for his life. Now, I want to say to you, for Peter, being at that dire straits position, it meant no fishing. Don't even dare go back to fishing. Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter, are you willing to give it up and follow my purpose and destiny for your life? Do you want my favor upon your life? Then do my will. Do feed my sheep. Come to a place of fulfillment where you can fulfill life's calling by doing what I've called you to do. And so I can bring so many other people out of the Bible for you this morning. Reasons why we don't experience God's favor upon our lives. The first one is the obvious one, sin. Isaiah 60 verse 10. Foreigners shall build up your walls and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I had mercy on you. It's by God's mercy that you and I can receive righteousness. And therefore, you know, we can say this morning, yes, you know, you must be careful not to be too arrogant when you have the favor of God upon your life. And what brings us back to the place where we can be humble? Repentance. The place where you and I realize that we are not good enough. The place where you and I realize that the only way that we will keep staying in a place where we are humble enough to admit that we cannot do this thing is when we need God in our lives. And so, if we want to have the presence of God, if we want to have the favor of God in our lives, we must make sure that we obtain the mercy that comes by our imperfectness. And then the second one, not being in His will, disobedience. Obedience starts by knowing the Word and applying it. And I want to say to you, if you want to know God's will, start by knowing His Word. Some of us must just get back to doing the basic principles that the Word of God brings to our lives. You know, it's strange how people will get to you and say, but listen, I'm struggling financially, or I'm struggling, you know, with sickness, or I'm struggling with... And then you ask just a few basic things about, are you doing whatever the Bible, the Word of God is expecting of you? And they can't answer you. Knowing the Word of God by heart is the start of doing the will of God. We spent too little time in the Word of God and we expect to have the results of the favor of God upon our lives. Do you want the favor of God upon your life? It's time to spend time in His Word, doing His will. And then Proverbs 8:35 speaks of this. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. So Jesus is the Word. And if we find Him, if we find Him as a revelation and make Him part of our lives, we will obtain favor in the eyes of God. The guidance of the Holy Spirit, Psalm 32 verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Doing the will of God by having the Holy Spirit guiding us in our lives. Do you want the favor of God upon your life? I want to bring you quickly back before we go to the next point. Is success in Joseph's life? Is the pinnacle of God's plan and purpose for Joseph's life having the title of manager or prince in Egypt? Why not? So what is the pinnacle?
Save Egypt?
Was it to forgive his brothers? To have full circle? Some of you might say to me this morning, that was the pinnacle of Joseph's life, because it brought him back to a place of restoration. Was it to save his father and God's plan for his father's life and destiny? I can go on and on this morning because it's all of him. But if we look about, you know, God's favor in Joseph's life, it's the story. It's the story of many things that brings Joseph back to the place where the only thing that matters is to have God in his life. The only place where Joseph finds favor and contentment is the place where he is in the full and perfect will of God for his life. Do you think that he was in the favor of God when he was in prison? Yes, he was. The Bible says, while being in prison, he had responsibilities and even blessings that other people in the prison did not have. So, I can tell you this morning, when you have the favor of God upon your life, it means that whatever you do, in which circumstances, that is the pinnacle. As long as you are in the perfect will of God. But you know what? We are always striving towards someday and one day and the great things that God will be doing. And Joseph understood what it means to be content in God. To surrender to God's plan and purpose for his life right now. To get to the understanding that whatever God puts on his plate, that is good enough for Joseph. Because God, I don't even mind if I'm the prince of Egypt or if my brothers will be coming back for me. And if I will ever see my dad again, my life is in your hands. As long as your favor is upon my life. I want to say to you this morning, you break your head over things that you don't have control over. We often forget that the God of the universe is more in love with us than anyone else. That is not a God that leaves us to figure this thing out by ourselves. But he puts his favor upon our lives and he goes before us. And he allows us to partner with him to fulfill life's destiny and purpose. Until we get to a place where we can only see the goodness of God's hand upon our lives. And can I tell you, for those who move in faith, they will see the glory of God in due season. It's just so sad that some stop before getting to the end. That's why people like Paul, the apostles, would not take for granted the fact that they could run the race all the way to the end. The fact that they had the privilege in fulfilling God's purpose until they departed this life. And next thing, we're almost there. The crisis of belief. We sometimes don't experience the favor of God upon our lives because we struggle to believe. Psalm 77, verse 7. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? This was questions that the men of God asked. People like David. People like Abram, Moses. God, did you depart from me? Where's your favor upon my life? And sometimes we do get to a place where we have a crisis in believing it. But if you're in the pit, you dare not lose hope. And think that that's your final destination. Because if you're Joseph, you have only one promise to cling to. And that is the dream that God has given you as a small child. That is burning in your heart. And you can't depart from it. Because you would rather favor God or be obedient to God and not offend Him than offend men. Because if you're Joseph and you're in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife comes against you and she brings all the temptations of the world, and you know that when you refuse her, you're going to go right back to jail, you make a choice. There's a decision to be made to say to you, listen, Joseph, either you can walk away from your destiny and purpose right now and have small pleasures in the house of Potiphar and walk away from God's promise for your life, or you can make the right decision and say no. Because if you make the right decision here, Joseph, and cling to the promises of God for your life, just know that my favor will go before you, even if it is in jail. For some of us, it's seeking the approval of man rather than from God. Galatians 1 verse 10. For I'm now seeking the approval. For I'm now seeking the approval of man or of God. Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is difficult. So this morning, I want to say to you, all the odds are against you. You're in a city, probably a city the closest to Sodom and Gomorrah of all ages. This is it. We are here, guys. We are fulfilling destiny here. And you must make a decision if you're going to align yourself with God's promises, or are you going to fall for Potiphar's wife and be distracted by the fame and fortune that controls and titles brings in your life, or are you going to stay focused till the end so that you can see redemption coming to the land? Because you know what? Probably if we want in the physical, if we want to recognize success in Joseph's life, the greatest success story is what you said. Is the one of redeeming Israel and then Egypt at the time, for a time when God wanted to preserve them for future generations. But there was little benefit for Joseph. Do you agree with me? Because Joseph was already ruling. He was the prince of Egypt. He was already experiencing the delicacies of the Egyptian empire. And yet, Joseph said, for a time such as this, God has called me to be in position so that I can fulfill His purposes. And I find my contentment in doing God's will. I don't want to be in any place else. Even if it means that it's going to be hard. Last one. Just shake the person next to you and say to them, Joseph is favored. The last one, and I hope this will sink into your heart for 2019. Lack of spending time with God. It's not about the hours that you sit in front of your Bible. It's not about the amount of days that you fast in 2019. It's your desire to get closer to the will and purposes of God for your life and hear His voice. Because spending time with God is rewarding, because that's where contentment of life begins. Colossians 3:15, can't read it now, but I'll read Job 33:26. Then man prays to God and He accepts him. He sees His face with a shout of joy and He restores to man His righteousness. Let's stand this morning. My message to you this morning is very simple. I don't want to be a victim, because I can tell you Satan has a desire to kill you in the pit, to keep you in the prison, to let you become a slave. and serve the purposes of Egypt. And yet, that's not God's plan for your life. That's not the destiny that God has in store. God's destiny for you is not sitting in the pit for the rest of your life. God's destiny for your life is not to stay stagnant for the rest of your life. God's purpose for you is much more than the pit, the slavehood, or the prison. It's a place where God says, listen, my favor is upon you. And I even want to proclaim the year of acceptance over all of you. Because I love you. Because I want you to experience my favor upon your life. Whatever your hand will find to do, God wants to favor while you're in His will, while you're following His heart, while you're doing whatever He has in store for you. If I ask you the question again this morning, was Joseph favored by God? I think sometimes Joseph thought, God, you forgot about me. God, this is impossible. It's so funny. You've shown me this animation of heaps of wheat bowing before me and stars making me to look like the one to shine. And now I sit in this pit. What's going on? But it's in the midst of those moments when you make certain promises to God, you Joseph, that God takes you all the way to contentment, to a place where you can find Him. My desire for you for 2019 is to rule. Is to reign in your circumstances. There's nothing that this world can bring toward you in the name of Jesus now. Because without Jesus, you are nothing. But there's nothing that the devil or this world can bring to us that will intimidate us if we are in the presence of God. Do you believe it, Chrissy? Because I believe it. I am not intimidated by stats about this nation, about Brexit, and whatever Brexit can bring us this year. That's nonsense. There's nothing that this nation has not withstand if they focus. But I can tell you, there was many empires removed because they forgot about why they exist. The Persians was mighty. The Romans were mighty. The Brits was mighty. And yet, in the blink of an eye, we can be nothing. Except if we find ourselves in the midst of the favor of God, serving His purposes. And I'm so excited about that, because I know that there's a solution to all the problems that we face. To all of the things that I so often hear, I am so busy. Can we stop that this year? And I'm as guilty as you are. Because the first thing that you tell me whenever you and I get together, and I'm as guilty as you are, is, yuck, I had such a busy week. I wish you would rather talk about the weather. I'm serious.
Amen. Amen.
I'm talking to the beautiful sons and daughters of God here.
Amen.
We're always intimidated by and so fascinated by our circumstances and our opposition and our mountains. And the mountains is all here in our own heads. It's when you can conquer those mountains that you will be successful. When those mountains become so small because your God is so amazingly big. Because when the favor of God comes upon your life, you guess what? Brexit is something of the past. So relax. I'm now so fed up with Brexit. I can tell you, I wish nobody wants to talk about Brexit for the next 10 years. It's going to happen, so relax. God is in control. Whatever is going to happen, you will be fine. This is not the end of the world. But one thing that I do know is God can use this together for our good. Brexit can be to the benefit of God's kingdom like you cannot imagine. You know why? Because if you're Joseph, the end of Egypt is near. Because they're going to die of starvation. Because there's a drought coming, and this drought is going to destroy them. But God, you are in control. There's nothing that nature or circumstance can bring against me while you're in control. God, you've got a plan for this nation. And beyond this nation, you've got a plan for your people. God has a plan for His people in this nation like never before. Can I tell you? There's amazing things happening, and we are sitting and waiting for something to happen, and yet we forget to look around us because God is doing awesome stuff. I'm so excited. I'm telling you, because God is on a roll. God has an expectation for us to just take that one step, like Peter, and say, God, I surrender. Clearly fishing is not going to work for me. I want to be in your purpose. I want to fulfill your will. Let's close our eyes. Father, we repent this morning.